From the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 11th day of September 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Jackie Vakes about today's commodity markets, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, September corn down a quarter of a cent, finished at 348 and a quarter, December at 360, a penny and a half lower. The March contract down 2 1/4. Settlement price there at $3.72 and a quarter. The May futures 381 and three quarters, down 1 3/4. In July corn, $3.89, a penny and 3/4 lower. Soybeans finished the September 5 1/4 cents lower at $8.54. November 866. 6.5 down 5.5 in January at $8.80.5, down 5 1/4 cents. The March futures down a nickel at $8.94. May down 4.5 at $9.06 1/4. In July soybeans, $9.16 1/4. Settlement price 4.5 cents lower. The bean oil futures up 35 cents at $28.73. The bean meal at $2.89.60, down $3.30. Wheat futures for the day, September soft red, down 7 at $4.77.5. New crop July at $4.91 3/4 for next year, a penny lower, and the hard red July finished at 432 3/4, down 4 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures, October contract up $2.35 at $98.50. Feeder cattle at $2.17.5 higher, $136.7.5. The settlement price in the October lean hogs for the day down $2.55 at $60.17.5. We're now joined by Jackie Vakes. She's from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Jackie, I think probably we should set back and explain just exactly what's happening there at Stuart Peterson, because you have a brand new name, Total Farm Marketing. Can you tell me about it, please?
Yes, well, we've officially changed the name to Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson as of today, actually. So the people out there are the first ones that are hearing it. We wanted to do something that really reflected what we do, and that's really what we are. Is we are Total Farm Marketing. So it's a lot of words, I can tell you that much to say at one time, and a big change. So if I trip up and say just Stuart Peterson once in a while, please understand I'm trying to get used to it also.
Yeah, me too. So I'll probably just go with Total Farm Marketing from this point forward and not worry about the Stuart Peterson part of it, because it is a lot of words. But we have a lot of words to get through today, so let's get started. Support and resistance, we always start there. Anything really that's changed very much?
Not really from last week, Todd. We still have the down and uptrends on December crossing at 370 and in March at 377, so we're still respecting those lines. On November, we did trade below the downtrend line and have managed to crawl back to it. Same thing with March. And so we'll see once where that heads. Managed money this week, kind of interesting situation. You know, I think a lot of what we're seeing is more money flow than it is anything else. And when you look at managed money right now, they've got they're 4,000 short in soft red wheat compared to 20,000 last week. Corn, they're net short 146 versus 107 last week. Beans, 75 versus 60 last week. Soy meal, the same as last week, 42,000 short. And on oil now, they're 19,000 short versus just 1,000 short. So that would say to me that, you know, a lot of what's happening here is just basically money that's moving around, trying to find out where it wants to go. And the easiest place at the moment is just kind of sideways to slightly lower trading.
The easiest place for me to go at the moment would be to tomorrow's USDA report. However, I want you to look back at the weekly crop progress report figures, because I think there might be some important numbers in there to discuss before we get to this set of numbers from USDA that's due out at 11 tomorrow morning.
Well, at least, you know, you're absolutely right. We do have all of our acres in dough stage now on corn. We've got 10.1 million acres currently in the dough stage as of the 8th. Normally, at this time of year, it's only 2.75 million. So So, you know, that's a scary number to me. On beans, we got 6.4 million acres that are setting pods. Normally, we're down to only 800,000 acres. So, you know, if you look at the picture certainly says that we're subject to any type of a talk about frost or anything like that. You know, it would be devastating to have that happen. But we really are moving fast. I mean, 7 million acres went out of the dole stage this last week. So let's hope that it continues to move that quickly as we finish out.
Yeah, and if you went to the state numbers, I had made note that Minnesota is running, I think they say, about 2 weeks behind, but they do include a graphic in the PDF for the state report from Minnesota on how much corn is dented, and it is roughly 40-42%, and normally it's twice that much in that state. So there's just a lot of corn, and we've known it's been late, but it just remains very late, and I suppose that'll have to come into the market at some point.
Yeah, you would think it would get here one of these days, you know, I mean, and I think everybody's hoping that this report tomorrow is going to give us something. I do have the estimates if you'd like to hear them. When we look at corn production, average guesses are 13.6 million versus 13.9, which is what the USDA had last month, and we had 14.4 last year. On beans, 3.596. We were at 3.680 last month. Corn yield, 166.7. Then the USDA was at 169.5. Bean yield, 47.2. Last month it was at 48.5. When we look at the world numbers, corn just slightly higher, 329.6 million metric tons versus 328.6. Beans, 114.1 versus 114.5. So that's pretty close from the world standpoint. And wheat, 275.3 versus 275.5. And that's for the year of 18-19. Now, if you look into 19-20, corn, 301.8 versus 307.7 last month. Beans, 101.6 versus 101.7. So you can see not a lot of change in the bean side. And wheat, 285.5 versus 285.4. So the world numbers reflect basically the change that we're seeing or expecting to see in the yield. We're not going to address acres on this report. That won't be addressed until next month's report. And so this is it's going to be interesting. Let's just put it that way.
This is the yield report. What normally happens day of and then 2 weeks after? You always have those numbers around.
Well, normally the September report is probably one of the most negative reports that we have because the crop is further along than we are right now. It ranks as the 12th most negative report. If we do go up, it's 13 cents on the day of the report on average or down 6 cents. And then 2 weeks later, if we're up, it's up 14 or down 24. Now, you look at beans, same thing with beans. You know, it's seldom a positive report. And but if it is, we're up 22 cents the day of the report on average and down 13. And 2 weeks later, this is, you know, up 32 or down 56. So you can really see that two-week impact on beans, you know, because we'll be that much further down the growing season and that much closer to being finished with the crop. And so we'll see once. We may defy these numbers tomorrow, just depending upon what the USDA comes out with.
Okay, so I have a different question. Given the weather, lots of folks have been pointing to 2009 as a comparison year. Yep. Have you done that?
Yeah, it's interesting because when you look at the percent dented on this report compared to 2009, we're a little bit better this year than they were in 2009. Illinois is 53% dented. Back then, they were 47% dented. Indiana is 43%. They were 46% in 2009. Iowa is exactly the same, 60% dented. And so if you go down and you go through everything, the average denting in the major states was 55%, and that's exactly what it was in 2009. So then if you look at the corn yield, Illinois came in at 174. Right now, we're looking at 181. Indiana, 171 versus 166. Iowa, 181 versus 191. I think Iowa might be the one state that'll step outside of 2009 because they've had better weather than a lot of other places. But when all is said and done, back in 2009, we ended up with an average of 164.4 versus what we're looking at 169.5, and a really, really, really wild October. And so I think that, you and I have talked for, every week. I still think if we've got rally opportunities, that rally opportunity comes between October and December of this year as we actually start to move into the crop, start getting some, information back. And who knows, China decided yesterday to say, oh, we want to play nice and buy some more agricultural products, so maybe it'll make for a better trade situation for us. And I think, in my opinion, Todd, they don't want to play nice. Let's just put it that way, okay? They're concerned because Brazil weather is really dry. They can start planting today. You know, they have controls on when they can plant. Mato Grosso starts on the 16th of September. And Mato Grosso is one area that has some irrigated land, so they'll plant right away. But anything non-irrigated that's like in the central parts or in Mato Grosso, they like to wait for 2 inches of rain. And there's no significant rain forecast until after mid-October for down there. So to me, what that says is, we could even see tire carryouts in Brazil. China might end up buying more from the U.S., and maybe they'll settle the trade war on commodities because, now some people are going to say, they're just going to go to Argentina is what they're going to do. Well, we talked about this the last 2 weeks. Argentina's economy is in a meltdown. And so, this week when they limited the purchase of U.S. dollars being bought by Argentinians, that tells you that they are in real, real trouble. And, the last time this happened, they used beans to buy food. So, their farmers, if they follow through the way they did the last time, they were hoarders of beans and corn, because they've got value because they're priced in U.S. dollars versus other things that are priced in pesos, And so the key down there is going to be the October 27th election. Fernandez has Kirchner, and they are favored to win as his VP. Now, Christine Kirchner was the president of Argentina when those huge taxes were assessed on exported beans. So the farmers do not like her. She is not a farmer's friend. And now she's going to be willing to be the vice president. Kind of odd, a little bit scary. And it's certainly going to make the Argentinian farmer think about how much he really wants to part with the beans that he currently has.
Indeed it will. Hey, thanks so much. And thanks so much for following everything for us.
You're welcome. I love doing it.
Thanks, Jackie. Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. In today's agricultural news, advisor to President Trump, Peter Navarro, says there is a 100% chance Congress will pass the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, otherwise known as USMCA. The advisor to President Donald Trump told CNBC News that he cannot imagine that Nancy Pelosi would not put this on the floor to at least have a vote. He expects the vote will occur before the end of the year. Navarro has played a critical role in the negotiations with Canada and Mexico, as well as in the current U.S.-China trade war. Speaking of which, the U.S. and China will hold mid-level talks this month and plan to resume higher-level negotiations in early October. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy argued on CNBC passing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement could help with China.
The most important thing that we can do to make sure we get that China agreement this month, let's pass the USMCA. That only makes us stronger going to the negotiations with China. It brings more than 170,000 new jobs, makes our GDP stronger. Think about that when you're sitting down with China to negotiate a trade agreement.
Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley agrees.
It gives us credibility with other countries, particularly Europe, that has problems with China. Gives some credibility to the president's negotiation when Congress is giving its approval to USMC.
National Farm and Commodity Group leaders have planned a major rally for tomorrow with bipartisan ag and trade leaders in Congress to urge immediate action on USMCA. Well, let's stay with trade for just a moment. An independent report says a lack of funding for infrastructure improvements could put more than $72 billion in additional GDP and 77,000 new jobs at risk. The report by Agribusiness Intelligence was commissioned by the Department of Agriculture's Agricultural Marketing Service, or AMS. The study examined three scenarios that included potential impacts of reduced investments for U.S. waterways, maintaining the status quo of less than 2% growth, or increased investment of $6.3 billion during the next 10 years. Now, currently, appropriated funds, which are considered maintaining the status quo, do not enable the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to keep pace with the barge volume traffic or growth in infrastructure maintenance needs. As a result, the percentage of vessels delayed on all waterways has increased some 35% in 2010 to 49% in 2017, which in turn adds to the total shipping cost. A spokesperson concludes the U.S. inland waterways infrastructures need major rehabilitation and construction to restore it to full capacity to forestall major disruptions and provide opportunities for growth. And finally today, the National Biodiesel Board is urging President Trump to protect small biodiesel producers. The organization penned a letter to the president this week asking he save small biodiesel producers harmed by his administration's SRE exemptions, or small refinery exemptions. The letter indicates that more than 200 million gallons of U.S. biodiesel production capacity has been idled as a result of policy instability. NBB anticipates additional facilities will close over the next several months if the president does not take quick action to restore RFS volumes for biodiesel and renewable diesel. The letter highlights additional policy headwinds that NBB says are harming the biodiesel industry, including the U.S. Department of Commerce's recent proposal to virtually eliminate trade protections against heavily subsidized biodiesel imports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. On this Wednesday afternoon, Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for joining us. Start with the weather in your area first and work your way across the Corn Belt.
Well, conditions varied across the region. Really, the northern portions of the Corn Belt are the areas that are getting all of the rain right now, and they're getting plenty of it. There was some flooding and some tornadoes and hail damage noted last night from South Dakota, northern Nebraska, into southern Minnesota, and those storms have continued to work their way further to the east. And as we go forward through the balance of the day today, we'll see some additional rain occurring across some of the northern parts of the Midwest. That would be from Wisconsin and northern Illinois, maybe even parts of Michigan all the way back to the Dakotas. A lot of the heavy rain that occurred last night and the severe weather has temporarily died down. But the lower Midwest hasn't been seeing nearly as much active weather. There's been some sporadic showers, and we'll see some more of those as we go forward through the coming several-day period. But net drying is going to be more the rule. It's all about the warmth that's going to be continuing over this next week to week and a half. The temperatures in the lower parts of the Midwest have already been quite pleasant in a late summer way, with a lot of 80 and some lower 90-degree temperatures recently. We're going to cool down temporarily over the weekend and then turn right around and raise those temperatures back into the 80s and some lower 90s. There's not a lot of rain in the pipeline for the 7 days coming up, ending next Wednesday. We're probably talking 2/10 to 3/4 of an inch in some of the southern parts of the Midwest, and with temperatures as warm as I've described, obviously a net drying trend will occur. It'll be a very good environment for crop maturation and some harvest progress. The northern Midwest will see most of this heavier rain ending here over the next day or two, and then we'll look for some drying in those areas as well. And I don't see anything threatening on the cold side of the fence, at least not for the next 7 days.
USDA in the weekly crop progress report from the state of Iowa made note that 28 states were in D1 or moderate drought, some abnormally drought in there as well, mostly abnormally dry areas there. Are you concerned at all about those areas? I know we're late in the season, but if you look at the drought monitor, there's almost a necklace that runs across Iowa, northern Illinois, and into Indiana, Michigan. area?
Yeah, you know, for this time of the year in this scenario, I think we're probably good to have it. The last thing we want with the crop that's way behind is to have it be so wet that, you know, that we can't get the crop to dry down. So I think at this point, having the dry bias around is actually beneficial and will help to speed these crops along in their development along with the warm temperature bias. In the longer run, we need to kind of watch that, obviously. As we go through the winter and into the spring season, we want to make sure that we don't get too dry in the subsoil. But for right now, I think we're going to have a pretty good mix of weather as we go through the autumn, and I don't think we're going to move into any kind of major drought scenario, at least not during the balance of 2019.
So for the month of September, we'll pile up growing degree days faster than maybe we would normally, do you think?
Well, I think probably for the next week, yes. When we get into the last 10 days of the month, I'm not quite so sure about that. We've got some changes coming up in the atmosphere that may put a ridge of high pressure over western North America, and that would give the eastern part of the country a bit of a cool northwesterly flow pattern, and we could end up chilling down a little bit more significantly. So this next week to maybe week and a half is extremely important for getting those degree day units to accumulate, because after that I don't think we're going to be quite so lucky.
It doesn't sound as if you're too concerned about how cold that might get.
Well, I'm trying to be careful what I say, right? You know, there is a concern in the back of my mind about the last 5 to 7 days in September that we could bring on a risk of some frost and freezes. But, you know, everything's been changing so much here recently that it may not be as good a probability as what we had thought earlier. But we've got all this tropical activity going on that's helping to interfere with the overall pattern. And if we take a break from that, we may end up seeing the cold air come on a little bit more significantly. So I think we'd be wise not to turn our backs on Mother Nature here and remember that we do need 3 weeks longer than usual to finish out this crop season. And late September is not late enough for crops to manage a frost and freeze event without some kind of impact. So we'll have to watch it. Right now, if that's the earliest that we could see a threat.
Can I ask you to take a quick look at Brazil as they wrap up their dry season? They'll need rainfall at some point to get the soybean planting season going, especially in Mato Grosso.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to be a little different year, certainly compared to last year. And what I've been telling folks is remember last year was a record-setting year for rainfall early and for the planting progress that took place. And that by no means should be an example as to what is normal for them. We are going to fall back into a rather poor distribution of rainfall over the second half of September for Mato Grosso and Goiás, even northern Mato Grosso to Sul. And so planting is likely to be very slow. Emergence and establishment will probably be uneven and rather poor just simply because the temperatures are going to continue to be warmer biased. Now, when we get into the early days of October, we will see a little more shower activity developing and field work will start to accelerate. But it's really mid to late October that they're going to do best.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. That is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.